points to whoever can tell me what verse that song was based on. You know, Ben, what's it based on?
Romans 8:28.
We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God and are the, help them out, Dave. This is all for free. It's bonus material right here. I love songs based on scripture. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together. I mean, there's a lot of other scripture backing up that song, but that's the main one. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to find our text. First Peter chapter 4. We covered verses 18 through the end of chapter 3 last Wednesday, and this is really all about victory through suffering. That's what the Lord is talking about here through the Apostle Peter, to these saints that are suffering. They're going through incredibly hard trials, and Peter is writing to them and telling them to endure, faithfully endure through the hard times that they're going through. And really, this is about walking in the Spirit, which we're going to see that a little bit. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me one last time. We're going to pray, get into the Word. I'm going to preach to you for a little while tonight and hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. And that God will help us to experience victory in our day-to-day living as we seek to serve him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had already, for the prayers that have been lifted up, for the comfort of your Holy Spirit, and for just the presence of your Spirit as we sing your praises, Lord, just to feel your presence in our hearts and minds. And I just pray that you'll continue to comfort hearts of those who have lost loved ones and give them grace. I pray for those who are hurting, struggling, both physically, but also mentally and emotionally and spiritually, just struggling. God, I pray that you'll hold them up and that you'll give them strength by your Spirit. Lord, help us all to walk in your grace and in the power of your Spirit day by day. Lord, we can't do anything without you, but we can do all things through Christ. We can endure anything through Christ, and we just pray for your help. Help our nation to turn back to you. Bring repentance of faith. Lord, may we see an awakening and a revival in the United States of America that spreads to the whole world. Please bless our time in your word now. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember how I said chapter 4? I really want to read verse 18 in chapter 3 first. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Amen. Please be seated. And now, you know, I don't like to do this. If you missed last week, you can go back and listen to it online. But right now, jump ahead to chapter 4 and verse 1. But verse 18 in chapter 3 really introduces this section, and it goes down to verse 6 here in chapter 4. You guys know that the chapter breaks and verses were all man-made anyway. But just in my study and looking at it, I see this section here as being all together. So we pick up here at verse 1. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and or the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Now we're going to walk through these six verses tonight, but let me just give you the main points. Number one, arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. That's number one. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Number two, leave your past life behind you. Leave your past life behind. And then number three, live according to God in the Spirit. It's the end of verse 6. Live according to God in the Spirit. So number one, arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. This is a military term. This is military language. He is saying arm yourselves. He's saying prepare for battle. He's saying to arms. He's saying go get your shield and your sword and your bow and your arrows. He's saying arm yourselves, get yourselves ready to go to war. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you're a Christian, you are in spiritual warfare today. And the Lord is calling us in his word to arm ourselves for the battle. Because Christ, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, because of that reality, because Christ suffered and died for you when he came into the flesh, you need to arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is think about Jesus. Consider Jesus. Wrap your mind around the suffering that he endured, that all those who were against him, just wrap your mind around that so that you don't get weary, so that you don't fall away, so that you don't faint, but you just keep going because you're looking to Jesus, because he suffered for you. He died for you. He endured for you because he looked beyond the suffering of the cross to the joy that was on the other side. And friend, you and I are called to be like Jesus. He left an example that we should follow in his steps, and that's what we want to do, is look at his suffering, and we need to look beyond the suffering to the joy that's set before us. And friend, if your faith is in Jesus, there's great joy on the other side. Amen. Joy beyond understanding, joy beyond description is on the other side. Because he has suffered and died in the flesh, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. Now go back to our text in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And what he's saying is, he that has suffered or died, he's talking about death, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus died for our sins. He never sinned, but he was surrounded by it. He never sinned, but he was surrounded by it. When a person dies, they're separated from sin. Jesus, though he never sinned, remember, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tried by sin. He was surrounded by sin. He suffered for sin. He took on our sin. He became sin. He died for sin, and then he was separated from sin forever. And when we look at Jesus and how that happened for him, it helps us to understand what's supposed to happen in us. When he died, he ceased from sin, or he left sin is what that word ceased really means. He left sin behind because he wasn't around it anymore in the way that he was. Okay, maybe this will help. Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, a lot of people want to twist that up and try to make it contradictory, but here's what it's saying. Jesus Christ came for sin the first time, and he's coming without sin the second time. In other words, he's already dealt with sin. He left that behind. Never to be tempted again, never to die for sin again. He's left that behind. And yes, he's coming back to a sinful world, but he is going to conquer sin and death and hell ultimately, finally, and fully when he comes again. As a follower of Jesus, we have to be resolved to follow Christ no matter the cost. And that's what he's trying to tell us. He's saying, look at Jesus. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's verse 1. Verse 2 in our text says, that, or in order that, or so that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And what we have to do is make a resolution in our mind. We have to be resolved in our hearts and minds. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Amen. I'm going to leave behind my sinful desires. I'm going to die to my sinful passions, and I'm going to live for God's will. And listen, if you live for God's will, you will suffer persecution. Amen. You're going to suffer in this life. You're going to be tempted and tried in this life. And we have to decide that we're willing to suffer rather than sin. And that's a hard choice, isn't it? Does sin come with pleasure for a season? That's what my Bible says. But what kind of choice did Moses make? He said that the Hebrew says that he was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice to leave behind the pleasure of sin, and he knew it was going to bring suffering, but he would rather do that to follow God and be with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. And the same choice is in front of us all the time. You can make a choice to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a little while, but listen, sin always results in death. Amen. Always. It's always the end result. The ultimate end of the road of sin is always death, and you can make a choice to say, you know what, I'm not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I'm going to leave that behind, and I know that following the will of God is going to bring some suffering, but it's well worth it. Amen. Because the sufferings of this life are nothing to be compared to the glory that he has prepared for those who he's called, who he loves. Suffering for righteousness, obeying God's will, and winning over sin and the flesh. Romans 6:6. We usually think about Romans 6 as a chapter about baptism. It's the baptism passage. But it's really, just so you know, I'm fully persuaded this passage isn't really about water baptism. It's about your salvation. Now, it ties in water baptism because that's the picture of our salvation, right? How many of you understand that baptism is a picture of your salvation? Okay, yeah, it pictures what Jesus did for you when he died. You're going under the water. When you're under the water, his burial. You come up out of the water, his resurrection. But it's not just what he did for you. It's what he's done in you. Our old man is crucified with Christ, and he's dead and buried, and you're to walk in newness of life. Okay, Romans 6 Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from this moment forward we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And Romans is saying the same thing that Peter's telling us right now. When you have suffered, when you have died, you are gone from sin. You're ceased from sin. You leave sin behind. And that's not literal, it's the call of the spiritual, because friends, we are still in the middle of a sinful world, and I still have a carnal mind, and I still live in a fleshly body, and there is a war in my members between the spirit that lives in me that is driving me to follow God's will and the flesh that surrounds me that is pulling me away from God's will. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a war that goes on in my heart and mind every single day. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, my flesh would rather sleep than read my Bible. I'd rather watch TV than pray. You say there's nothing good on TV? My flesh doesn't care. I would rather doom scroll through whatever, it doesn't matter, pick a social media, I would rather doom scroll through that than do anything godly and productive. My flesh loves that stuff. And all the while, the spirit inside me is grieved. Pray. Read the word. Be a witness. Do something for the kingdom. Now, I get it. Some of you in the room are like, I don't have that problem. I'm not on social media. And you get a little bit hoity-toity with yourself because you're not on social medias. And that's good. It probably is good. But I bet you got other things that your flesh would rather do. And we all have this war. And what he's saying is, Jesus died and left sin behind, and you are dead to sin because you're alive in Jesus Christ, so leave it behind. Make a decision, be like Jesus. Put this mind in your heart and mind. Do you see it? Suffering for righteousness, obeying God's will, and winning over sin and the flesh. That's what he did. That's what he did. Now, you can't read the words, the mind of Christ, without thinking about Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're going to read this, and this is we're going to wrap it up tonight. Don't worry, come back next week and there'll be more. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Time out. Why? Why did Jesus not think it robbery to consider himself equal with God? Because he is God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? Suffering and death, sacrifice for obedience to God and the good of others. Suffering, obeying, and winning. God's kingdom, we talked about a little bit on Sunday. We'll get back there, Lord willing, this Sunday. How everything's upside down in his kingdom. You know, like you're blessed if you're persecuted. That doesn't make sense. And here's the same story. You're blessed when you suffer. You win through suffering. You get victory through dying. When you die to self, you get to live for him. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to end tonight with a song. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you next time, Lord willing, to leave your past life behind and to live according to God and the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight, I pray that you'll respond in faith and obedience while we sing.
Eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice